I want to thank Roy for inviting me to finish the plans I had made for these past three Sundays, even after he officially arrived here at Bethel. You've been very kind to me. I realize that I'm an old man now, and that I don't have a whole lot of Sundays remaining to me, and each one is precious. I love Sunday mornings, and I enjoy preparing for Sunday. And it's been a wonderful experience to come up here to Bethel. Since I retired almost 20 years ago, I have stood behind many pulpits in several presbyteries. And I can tell you honestly, sincerely, that you have a spiritual energy that I can feel up here. You are with me and listening and responding in a beautiful way. And I know the Lord is going to bless Bethel Presbyterian Church in its future years. You are a strong congregation. I'm reading from the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This year, my mind has been filled with memories of Christmas as a child growing up in Suffolk, Virginia. Interestingly, there was no mention of Advent in Suffolk Presbyterian Church. That belonged to what we call liturgical churches. And somehow the Presbyterians were a bit above that, we thought, and we had a very plain kind of worship. In fact, I think in our Reformation, we threw out the baby with the bathwater, and it's beautiful to me to see these things creeping back in again in our celebrations. Even the liturgical year was not a part of my growing up experience. And I remember that the session of that congregation, and we were mainline Presbyterian, had a great issue over whether or not to put a cross on the communion table. And it was settled by saying, it shall be small, it shall be shiny brass, and it shall be an empty cross. We were still fighting the Reformation when I was a child. We have grown out of that, and I praise God for it and welcome what I see now. Actually, the lead up to Christmas for me as a boy began in public school. Can you imagine? That's where it started, right after Thanksgiving. We began to make stars and candy canes and all kinds of other little icons of the season with construction paper. And we used a school glue that elementary classrooms had. That stuff smelled so good you thought you could eat it. And I feel sure that some of my classmates did taste it. Seated behind our desks, we sang all the familiar carols. Silent Night, Joy to the World, O Little Town of Bethlehem with Harmony. And we sang some songs I didn't hear in church. Up on the rooftop, chick, 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 something about old Saint Nick. And that wonderful one, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which reminded all of us to be good little boys and girls, or else. At home, Christmas cards began to arrive. They were magical to me. We're talking about an era before television. These things were colorful, and my parents accumulated a bushel basket of them every Christmas. And I would get down on the floor in front of the fireplace and open these Christmas cards and just study them one by one. It felt to me like I could get into those pictures and walk around in them. And some of the fanciest from the richer people in town had little sparkly sprinkles on them where there was snow and ice. It was wonderful. I remember the Christmas when Santa must have come early. I was upstairs in bed, but not fully asleep yet. And suddenly I heard a little toy xylophone begin to ring the tune of Away in a Manger. And I couldn't stand it. I slipped out of bed and I listened at that music at the top of the stairs. I went down two or three steps and I got to the point where I could almost look around the edge of the door frame when I panicked. And I ran back as quietly as I could up those stairs and got in the bed. I knew I had almost seen Santa Claus, a memory that is vivid in my mind. Christmas morning started early in my home, probably three of us boys, much earlier than my parents had wished. Such joy! Puzzles, games, Monopoly, a checkerboard with a game printed on the backside of it that nobody knew how to play. assortments of fireworks with stuff in the box that had wrappers on them that were probably more exciting than the sparks that came from them when you lit them. And a Recta set with little tiny screws and nuts that any modern kid would choke on today if he learned to use a screwdriver. And you think that's something? A Chemcraft chemistry set with chemicals and little wooden boxes that would swell with moisture by the middle of January, so you had to use them right away or it would go bad. But there was stuff in there you could mix that would fizz and turn blue. And it was just wonderful to see that happen in a test tube. And there was something called sulfur. And if you burned it, it would smell like a rotten egg. What's a rotten egg? Is that what you're asking? Chemcraft. It also had something called an alcohol lamp. You would put rubbing alcohol in it and drop a little wick down, and when you lit it, it would burn much hotter than a candle. And you could put glass tubing in that flame and it would melt and you could bend that tubing. Imagine the lawsuits today. But that's how Christmas was. And then I looked at the Christmas stockings hanging over the fireplace, nailed to the mantle. We had something in there we called raisins, but they were bunches of grapes still on the sticks that had been dried. And when you ate them, there were seeds in them that would crunch. That is a Christmas memory. Oh yes, and hard candy that had a strong flavor and bright colors, and it would always be stuck to the skin of an orange that was somehow in there. Stockings hung by the chimney with care. And I noticed the empty saucer that had a slice of fruitcake in it last night, and the empty glass where the milk had been. I knew what that meant. And soon enough, the street in front of my house was full of shiny new bicycles. All the kids were out there on their new bikes. Ah, Christmas. And then what? It was over. After all that build up, after all the excitement of wishing and longing and waiting and preparing, a short time of realization, and then it was over. We returned to ordinary days as the tree grew ragged and the colored lights began to burn out. And if one went out, they all went out. Even the neighbor's exciting Noma bubble glow lamps began to look a little dull. Tinsel icicles fell from our Christmas tree to the floor. And from there, they spread all over the house, even upstairs. My mother complained that they tangled in her vacuum cleaner. The ghost of Christmas past. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be one of the shepherds out in the fields, watching over your flocks by night? It must have been totally overwhelming. Angels, a message from God, music from heaven. I think I would have been terrified, or as the Bible puts it, sore afraid. And yet the message is full of hope and joy and comfort. Let us then go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. And we find everything just like the angels said we would find it. We share our excitement and our experience with Mary and Joseph. We take a look at the baby in the manger and then realize there's not much else we can do. We need to let these tired people get some rest. And so we exchanged our greetings and head back out into the night. But where do we go now? Now that we have seen the Christ child, now that we understand that this is the Holy One of God come to earth, to what do we return? We go right back to tending sheep. Let that sink in. There had been a supernatural revelation, but the flocks still need our care. Have you ever thought about it? They had to leave a shepherd or two behind to watch out for that flock of sheep while they went into Bethlehem. Somebody had to miss out on that because those critters took constant attention. There were sheep that needed to be fed, perhaps fences that needed mending. There was a pasture at least to watch over. And then there was wool to be sheared and sold. Work still had to be done. And life is like that for those of us sitting right here at Bethel this morning. It can't be one long, continuous holiday. And even if it could be, that would not be a good thing for us. Not at all desirable. The important question to ask ourselves is not, where did the shepherds go? But how did the shepherds go? The shepherds of Bethlehem returned to their jobs. But they returned, how did the Bible put it? Glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. They returned to the commonplace in an uncommon manner. And what about us once this Christmas comes and goes? We have to go back to work at the same office, same kitchen, same wood pile, whatever. But if the profound meaning of Christmas gets through to us, that God has visited and redeemed his people through Jesus Christ, that the eternal has broken into our time, we will then return to our jobs with a new awareness of the possibilities of the demands. There's a power and a beauty in the Christmas message. It means that we'll go back to our ordinary life the way a person who has recovered from a serious life-threatening illness welcomes each new morning, saying, God, I thank you that I'm here this morning. It's full of purpose, possibilities, this life of ours. To be glad to live, to be glad for the passing of days, to be grateful for friends and generosity and loyalty and kindness, to be pleased that there are opportunities for us to do something helpful for another person, to do one's part to make the church what God wants it to be. Surely, this is a part of returning to our particular fields after Christmas, glorifying and praising God. And this is what the Apostle Paul means when he says, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. What will become of us after Christmas? I'm certain the shepherds would never be the same. They would do their familiar work, but in a new way. I can almost hear one of those shepherds saying something in the manner of Brother Lawrence. I keep sheep for God. In his The Practice of the Presence of God, the 17th century Christian kitchen helper, Brother Lawrence, says he was determined to make the love of God the entire purpose of his life. It pleased him to pick up a straw from the ground for the love of God. He said, the only motive behind my religious life is the love of God. Until I die, I shall have done everything I could to love God. It's not a question of changing the things we do, but in doing for God what we ordinarily do for ourselves. Our biggest mistake is to think that a time of prayer is different from any other time. It's all one. We can do little things for God. I turn the cake that is frying in the pan for the love of God. And when I have turned it, if there's nothing else to call for my attention, I worship God. I have arrived at a state where it is as difficult for me not to think of God as it was at first to get used to it. The time of business is not different from the time of prayer. In the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. You and I can have that all year round. And this is what will keep Christmas radiance in our faces all through the year. Glory will shine round about the people who have seen and heard the news of the birth of Christ. Amen.